service, the songs that have been selected this morning, the thoughts our service leader felt, and also what I felt to share. So it all flows together quite nicely. Love it when the Lord does that. I mean, God's able to do multiple stuff in a service. I get that. But I mean, it's kind of neat when there's a kind of a overall arching theme. Just a little couple of commercials. So I was at an awesome party last night. I got invited over to one of my RCMP members. Wise was having a big birthday party, and so they invited Margaret and I over, and so a lot of them were there. And then she works for the forestry office, and his wife, and so she had a bunch of people from there as well. So I was swimming in new people. It was interesting. So and people, and it was great. And thankfully, Margaret could be there with me. So we had a great time last night with that. That was fun. On Friday, I was up in Port Hardy taking an all-day course. Now, sometimes it's important to remember the vision and what God has put on your heart, because it helps you in the nitty-gritty of stuff. Because I'm in this course, ESS, Emergency Support Services, which is something I've felt on my heart to become a part of, because Emergency Support Services is the people that are there for us. If we had a tsunami or we had a forest fire or something like that, then they open up the registration center and they help determine if people need housing or clothing or food and all that kind of stuff. And my sense was, as I prayed that I think it's very important that a pastor or a chaplain be connected in that whole thing. And you know, in those sort of situations, you just sort of can't show up and expect that everybody's going to interact with you, respond. So you need to have some kind of a traction, as some kind of authority, some kind of a involvement. And so I'm connecting with those people. And I had to go to this thing on Friday. That's what I'm working towards, right? But my goal is that if something was to happen, then pray it doesn't. But I mean, you know, in the middle of the night or whatever, and I'm in the middle of this whole thing, then I'm there, right? But that being said and done, Friday was all about filling out forms. Forms, you know? Stan, you're not pressing hard. You just got to go through four copies, you know, or whatever. I'm in the middle of all that. And so around 10:30 in the morning, I'm literally crying out to God saying, why am I doing this? You know, you know what? But then, of course, vision, what it's all about. And so sometimes we end up doing things that are not full of joy for us, but it's for a greater goal and purpose. Because we're building towards where God is taking us and placing us, right? So, you know what I mean? So I think that's good for all of us to remember that. So it was a good course. And I'm glad it's done. but it was good. So it's been an interesting week. We had holidays the week before that. And nobody showed up. I had extra paintbrushes and nobody showed up. How about that? I think because I threatened you that I would put you to work if you showed up. But I had a good week. I actually enjoy that time by myself in the seclusion and just meditating and painting. I actually quite like that, so that was good. So appreciate that, to not have to be thinking about Sunday. Thank you, Terry Ruth, for preaching on Sunday. Appreciate that so much as well. Anyway, I'd like to speak to you today from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, and I want to talk about how there's actually going on in this whole story I'm about to read, a battle of prayer that is going on. There's some stuff going on here. I want to read that, which kind of ties us in with some of the things that have been happening in our morning service today. So Exodus chapter 17, and in the 8th verse, we read this. Let's see, what else I want to do this morning first before I get into that. Hey, Samantha, you finished your courses and everything, right?
She's official.
You're official? Officially got your... Good for you. That's awesome. So next step is what? The 10 hours thing, but what?
Well, the next step is registering with the British Columbia Association of Social Workers. So
yeah.
That's the test I have to take to prove I know what I know.
Yeah.
And then just
walking across the stage without phone.
That's the next step. Oh, okay. You know, it has been a joy to have you around, you know? In our church, in our community, these last, because when did you start? You came out right after Christmas, I think, wasn't it? That
yeah,
you kind of got your practicum? Yeah. What a blessing to to have you here. That's exciting news. Good for you. Well done. Well done. Yeah, and good to have Murray and Janet visiting us today from Surrey. Good to have you guys here for the weekend. We arranged some beautiful weather for you, so we're glad you came, and everyone else. Anyway, let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17. We'll start reading in the 8th verse. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." What an amazing story that is before us. And so Moses knew that it was time, for this battle. He instructs Joshua. He says, "Choose some of the soldiers, some of the individuals that need to go out into this battle. Get that all organized. Make that happen. You are the commander-in-chief of the forces. Get that happening. Meantime, I'm going up the mountain, and I'm taking an Aaron and Hur, and I will hold the staff of God over my head, over the battle for the day, as you are in the midst of that fight, swinging your sword and fighting the battle against the Amalekites. It is time. It is the day. It is in the purpose of God. Go for it now. I know you've been itching, but now God says now." That's basically what happened. And so they go out there. And Aaron goes up, and Hur goes up with Moses up on the hill. And there they are. And it's an amazing story, isn't it? So here's Moses, and he stretches out the staff of God that God had given him, and he stretches it out. Remember him stretching it out over the Red Sea, and it parted. Now he stretches it out over the battle, lifts it up over his head. He's interceding for his people, right? He's lifting it up to the throne, and he lifts it up. But as he did, every once in a while, you know, you try lifting your hands up even with nothing in your hands for a while. They start to get numb and you start to, right? And so he starts to get tired and they come down. And Aaron and Hur are watching this, right? And they take note that as Moses tires and that thing begins to come down, you know, that all of a sudden the battle begins to change, right? And Joshua's on his heels. And then he rests up and he goes up, and then all of a sudden Joshua and the guys are just going for it, and they're taking the upper hand. And so they came up with this plan, as you know, and so they decided to hold his hands up and get him on a rock so that they're sitting more. So he's sitting, and they're standing beside him, so they don't have to put their hands up like this, and it's technically over Moses' hands, right? At least that's the way I see it, right? So there's a lot of dynamics going on in this story. And they were victorious, and they won, and then they celebrated, they built an altar, and they declared, "The Lord is my banner," and all of that, which we'll get into in a minute. But listen, there's a number of colors here. There are a number of dimensions within this story that we see. And there's also a measure of mystery here within the story. However, in short, I'd start by saying Moses, Aaron, and Hur covered the people in prayer. It was covering prayer. It was covering prayer. They needed covering prayer to do battle. Right? We're talking about battle this morning. That was very cool this morning. You know, the significance with the drums and so on and so forth, right? There was covering prayer in battle. You see, this is a battle prayer, right? This is a battle thing, right? This wasn't nicey stuff. This was battle prayer going on. Pardon? Cool. You have the ability in your world. See, this isn't just all about history. History's cool. It's true. It's historical, right? It's all happened. This is stuff. This is factual stuff. But within that reality, this was written for purpose for us today. And the connection point for us today is it's not all about there. It's about now and it's about here. And that is that as Moses and Aaron and Hur covered their world in prayer, God has given you the ability, and I believe the calling, and desires to put that upon you to cover your world in prayer. Cover your world in prayer. And so my exhortation today, cover your world in prayer. Moses covered his world in prayer. Your world looks a little different than his world. Cover your world in prayer. My personal sense over these last couple of weeks, as the Lord has really been stirring me with a conviction to revisit prayer in my life. I've just felt that stirring in these last couple of weeks. I won't go into what I put in my journal and a verse that doesn't relate to this morning, but I was reading along in my devotions, and all of a sudden a verse jumped off the page, and then I kept reading my devotions, and that verse that stayed in my heart. I opened up my book, and I started writing, and I just felt the Spirit of God saying, stirring me in prayer, stirring me in prayer. But often what I find is when God is stirring me in prayer, he's not just speaking to me. Sometimes it often starts that way. But I also believe that he's stirring us, that he's stirring us to cover our world in prayer, you know? And, you know, I can wield my sword, I'm talking about my Bible now. And Joshua, he was probably pretty efficient with his sword. He could wield it well. But it wasn't enough. He could be really skilled with his sword. I'm sure he was in his troops, but it wasn't enough. So I'm at a party last night. Bunch of cool people, you know. Just love those guys. Awesome wives and people and so forth. And I'm in this world and I'm sort of swimming, like I said, because a lot of people I don't know, and I'm in an environment that's a little different. You know how that is, right? And so forth. And I mean, they know who I am. Some of them anyway. Others get to know me, but you come home and you start thinking, oh man, I'm doing all these things, you know, I'm filling out forms, you know, on Friday, I'm doing this, and I'm doing all this stuff, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm doing the stuff, and when I have an opportunity, I want to share and will what's appropriate within the reality of the world that I'm in. But all said and done, it takes more than me wielding my sword. Moses provided covering prayer. Because we're in a battle for the souls of men and women in my world, but not just my world. I'm talking about my world, but your world as well. And so we need to be proficient with our sword. We really do. But we need covering prayer. We need the Word, and we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit upon the Word. We need the Spirit upon people's lives. We need the Spirit upon us. This is all what was going on that day. And that's what I felt to speak to and to encourage us. And may the Spirit of the Lord speak to you personally about where that fits within your world and within your life. You can, yes, you can cover your world. You can do it. You can cover your world. How would you describe your personal world? It's a good question. Have you thought about it? How would you describe it? A piece of your world could be your place of employment. A piece of your world could be your business. A piece of your world could be perhaps your neighborhood, your street. A piece of your world, I'm just saying, because your world is very unique and different than mine, because God made you very uniquely, and he put you here for such a time as this. You are here within the times and purposes of God with your skills and your gifts and your anointing. And so all those other people in your world. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in a God who is a master chess player. Right? I believe that. I believe in a sovereign God who moves sovereignly and moves people, and pulls divine appointments and brings people into our lives. I believe that. What's your world like? Maybe your world involves the arts. Maybe your world involves music. Maybe your world is involved with some kind of volunteer work. I don't know. You know. It may be a piece of that world will clearly be your family. A piece of that world could well be will be the people that the Lord has laid upon your heart, which is a great indication of who your world is. You feel for those people. Those people are significant to you. Those people, when you see everybody in the crowd, your eye focuses on those people. It's like they become clear. It's not like everybody else isn't important, but there's more clarity in the focus of your mind towards individual. You say, why is that? Why don't I have it for that? That's that other person. Because that's your world. That's your world. And the Lord says, I believe, cover your world in prayer. You are a priest unto God. And he calls you to your world. I believe that. My world, just it's good to have examples. So my world is the Port McNeil area. Not just Port McNeil, the Port McNeil area. It's the local church is a part of that. It's the RCMP and the Port McNeil detachment, which includes the North Island, all the way from Port Hardy down to Sayward and over to Alert Bay. It is the Royal Canadian Legion in Port McNeil is part of my world. And I find favor and connections in all of those places. There are also other community spheres within this community as a community pastor that I see in different ways and different pieces. It's rather intriguing to me. But that's my world. Your world looks a little different than my world, right? But I see my world, and I see my world clearer than I see the rest of the world, because that's my world, and God has placed them on my heart. Your prayers can cover your world, and the Lord wants you to remember that. Don't just swing your sword, but realize you're in a battle, and in that battle, your sword will be more effective, and your influence will be more effective. And greater in capacity and depth and strength when it is involved with prayer in your life. Our prayers assist, I believe, the hovering and the brooding of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was hovering, right? And then the Lord spoke. The Spirit was already there. The Spirit was hovering, and then God spoke. He is hovering in your world. I believe that. The Spirit of God is there. I give you scripture on it. Is there any place you can go high enough to get away from the Holy Spirit? No. Is there any place deep enough that you can go that you can get away from the Spirit of God? Is there any place? No. He's there. He's hovering in his creative capacities. In your world, right? And he says, engage me. Engage me. Engage me. And so Moses says, it's time. So go for it, man. You'll find me over here having cappuccino. I'm just wanting to let you know, Joshua, that this is it, man. You and I have been talking about this. I'm so excited for you. You get to go out and do battle, right? And so you'll just find me over there, my tent. Having a cap, just relaxing, and enjoying myself, because this is your thing, man. And so you just go out there and swing your sword, it's all going to happen, because it's in the plan of God, right? Didn't Moses say that? He said, no, this is in the plan of God. It's time to get up on that mountain and cover in prayer. You go out there. I'm with you. It is time to release the kingdom of heaven, because God is saying it's time to release. It is time to declare. It is time to take that rod up on the mountain and extend it over the people of God, because God is in this. We'll have cappuccino tomorrow. You know? And that's kind of what was going on here. So our prayers enable the Holy Spirit to move into our situations. They enable that He can release life. It brings the ability. It allows, it engages, it enhances the ability of the Holy Spirit, because He desires to partner with us. That's just the way it works. To bring conviction, right? To break bondages. To release revelation into people's hearts. Why is it somebody can hear the same thing 5 or 6 times and all of a sudden, pow, it hits them? It's the revelation of the Holy Spirit that makes it real. We need the revelation. You can say the right word. You can do a thesis on it. You can swing that sword better than anybody in the whole world and so forth. But if there is not a revelation sitting upon that, right, the Spirit of God will not, you know, it will not take root to the same level. Isn't that right? I mean, you may intellectually get them for a day or two, you know, right? Or for a while. But, I mean, we're talking about changed hearts here. We're talking about souls for heaven. We're talking about the glory of God resting. We're talking about so much here. And that's a God thing. And so Moses said, there's more than a physical battle going here. He says, this is a God thing. Joshua, do you get this? This is a God thing. So we need God, right? How do we get God? So I get up on the mountain, and I begin to speak forth. I begin to pray. I begin to believe. I begin to exercise the things that He has taught me and engage the spiritual battle and bring covering. God's called us to that. Whether we're Joshua, Aaron, Hur, Moses, or some other foot soldier, whatever. It doesn't really matter. We all got a piece. We all got a part. We're all part of the body. And as a body, we move forth into the world in which God has called us, right? It's an amazing story. Jesus encounters. Man, you hear about that in the Middle East, different times and so forth, how many people are getting Jesus encounters? Just visitations. Just Jesus appears. Jesus speaks to them, and they get saved, right? You know, like, holy smokes, what's that all about? I want to see that. I want to see more of that in my world. People just wake up and they phone you up and say, hey, you're a Christian, right? You were at the party with me last night on Saturday night. I just got to talk to you, man. I was looking for somebody to talk to you. Like, and maybe you're a guy I could speak to because you seem to understand some sort of spirituality. But I had this weird dream a few nights. Well, not weird. It shook me up, this dream. And this man appeared to me. And they begin to unpack because they don't have the language. You know? And you know what I'm saying? You know, why not? Why not? He's doing it around the world. People are encountering Him. People are drawing to Him. I want more. I want more. I want more. This amazing story. It's just such an amazing story in Exodus 17. It represents how an example of how, secondly, my second point, I guess, it represents how God gives authority, an example of how He releases authority. It's very cool. Now, I've been given a measure of spiritual authority. Moses was given a measure of authority. Joshua was given a measure of authority. Okay? Are you with me? I've been given a measure of spiritual authority. And a measure of that spiritual authority includes covering this church. Now, thank God I don't have to do it all myself. Right? We're all in this, right? And according to our roles and our giftings, we do that in different ways. I don't want to get into all that right now. I just want to state that, right? But I do recognize that as the lead elder, you know, or as a pastor, that I feel that, right? Because that's what God called me to, right? But it's glad to know I don't bear it alone. Very cool. See, I have been given a measure of authority, right? But you also have been given a measure of authority. I'm just using the church as an example. I'm talking about your world, not just this world. You have been given authority in your world, guys. You really have. I would say it in 3 different areas, just for the sake of bring some texture and depth to it. But you've been given authority in your world. You've been given authority by invitation. You get authority by invitation. People inviting you into their lives gives you a measure of influence, right? Into their lives. People inviting you into their lives. Secondly, by being set in place. And thirdly, by your involvements. I'll talk about each one for a minute. All those are waves of being given authority in your world. Joshua had a certain amount of authority that he was delegated within his world. Moses, same thing. Others within that whole thing we could get into and talk about that, right? But the thing is, I'm just trying to say, you have authority in your world, and there are different ways of looking at it. And one way of looking at that is you have authority by invitation. People inviting you into their lives, right? And so I was invited to, I'm just stating some obvious things, but you can make the application. So I was invited one day, I'm sitting and I'm having supper at the Legion, and one of the executive, can't remember which one, doesn't really matter, comes over to me and says, hey, Stan, I heard that, you know, we're looking for a chaplain, and we're wondering if you would be interested in thinking about that and being willing to be our chaplain. We would really appreciate that. We could use a chaplain. Do you know what I said? I immediately said, yes. You know why? Because I had already prayed it through. I knew it. I already knew it was coming. I already knew it. Now, normally I would say, well, yeah, let me pray about that or check my schedule or talk to Margaret or whatever, you know, right, or do all these different, you know how we have all these different ways of doing things. But I already knew, right? So you kind of looked at me in the eyes. I said, yeah, sure, I'd be glad to, right? But you see, so just because I knew it did not make it so. But I was invited. I was invited in by invitation. And even within the RCMP, now I'm the RCMP chaplain, right? So I got the position. I'm the RCMP chaplain. You got to listen to me. I'm the chaplain. You know, no, it doesn't work that way, right? You know? Not right, Terrence. It doesn't work like that. Anyway, it's true, though. It doesn't work like that, right? I'm the chaplain. No, it's a matter of I became a chaplain, and that certainly gave me a certain amount of favor. But the guys need to get to know me. And as we get to know each other, and we're hanging out, we're having coffee, and whatever, you know? Our hearts open up towards each other. And you find, by invitation, right? You begin to see that there is a level of influence that the Holy Spirit is giving you, right? Treasure that. Treasure that. It's a trust. Treasure that. By invitation. In your world, the same way. We have authority by invitation. We have authority by being set in place. And there comes that sense. Sometimes it's a setting in place by, like I said, became officially the chaplain. You know, a sergeant arms came around, got me at a special meeting and marched me up to the front and they swore me in. You know, whatever, right? You know, and so there was a setting officially in a military way of me in his place as the chaplain. But, and so you can be set into places of positions that way. But there is a deeper level of being set in place, and that is when you know the Holy Ghost has set you in place. God has set you in. And so you're talking to him, but you know he set you there. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know how that can touch you, being set in place. Then Moses was set in place. Right? And then there's your involvements. That's another level of influence and authority in people's lives, your involvements with people, right? You get involved in people's lives, you know, you volunteer at such and such, or you work so and so. You've got a certain level of influence. You've got a certain level of authority, in a sense, in that world because you're a part of that world, right? Isn't that true? So all these different ways are ways of looking at that. You've been given that authority within that sense. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 for a minute. We'll keep your thumb there over coming back to Exodus there. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, we see these words. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, Joshua was set in place. And then Joshua was told these words. Joshua 1, verse 3, it says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Some translations say, every place where the sole of your foot shall tread. King James, I think it is, says that. The interesting thing, he says, I give you every place where you tread. Every place where you set your foot, I will give you that. It says that that's a powerful promise. My, that's a powerful promise, right? But you see, I have taken that promise very personally, not in regards to Joshua and Israel and Palestine and all that kind of stuff and geography over there, but in my world. I said, Lord, where are you calling me to? I will step into that place. I will tread into that place. Tread is a Hebrew word, darak, D-A-R-A-K. And it includes within it, when he said to Joshua this was a military term. This was a powerful, violent warfare word. I will, wherever you tread. That was the thing that's going. In Israel, they still use that word today when they describe, load your weapons. Darak. Load your weapons. And that's what he said to Joshua. He said, load your weapons. He said, step. Wherever you step, there is that sense of I am stepping into what God has called me to. And Moses said to Joshua, it is time. It is time, my friend, to step into the destiny in this piece of your destiny. This is the day. So take the guys, take the soldiers. You wouldn't just call them guys. Take the soldiers. Select the ones and orchestrate the way you have. You're the guy. You know, right? You know how that's to be administered. Take them out there. I'm going up the mountain. Right? It's very cool. In short, if we're willing to tread, if we're really willing to step into our world in that sense, with that kind of a focus or determination, he will give it to us. God wants to give you your world. God wants to give you your world, but it requires covering it in prayer. I received I want to get ahead of myself. I'll get into the vision God gave me in a few minutes, not quite yet. Exodus 17, verse 16, we find again it says in that portion about prayer, Exodus chapter 17 in the 16th verse, it says this, very cool. It says, he said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. For hands were lifted up to the horns of the throne of the Lord. Literally, according to Dutch Sheets in his tremendous book on intercessory prayer, he says it literally, it means this, hands upon, against the throne. Hands upon / against the throne of. The ESV, which is in the English standard version, is a very strong word-to-word literal translation instead of thought-to-thought, and he uses it, a hand upon the throne of the Lord. But it's interesting. It's a very similar word to what we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, when we're talking about praying, and praying according to the Spirit, where it says the Spirit helps us and prays for us, intercedes for us, in Romans 8, 26, just as reference point. And in that word in the Greek, that means to take hold of, against, together with. We've talked about that before. To take hold of, against, together with, right? So, this is a pretty small pulpit, but I got a couple pictures from Gabby from Germany and some of those pulpits over there. Those suckers look pretty heavy and big. So anyway, so we got this German pulpit, you know, from Germany here, and it's sitting here from Stan, and Stan decides he wants to move this thing, and it's how many hundreds of pounds, right? So it ain't moving all by myself, but what I need, let's have a little fun. So this thing's really heavy. So Dan, come here. Samantha, come here, because you're close. And, that's good enough. Okay, just a couple of people, unless I want to pick on somebody else, but that's good. So anyway, so say this thing's pretty heavy. This German pulpit from Germany that Gabby brought us, which I don't really want, by the way, that's all I think, but because it wouldn't fit. Anyway, that's another matter. But anyway, we got this thing here, right? And it looked pretty cool over there in that church. So anyway, we got a hand. It's too heavy for Stan, so Stan's trying to push it. But I need help. So I need this big guy here, and I need this sweet young lady over here to come and help me. So get your hands on this pulpit there, will you? And we're not going to really do it, but pretend you're pushing it. We're not going to push it. You're pushing against me. That's not. Oh, you're going to pull. Oh, that's good. Love, give me a fist bump. Oh, that is so, it's good. It's working out better than I thought. So what are you doing? You're going to?
I'll pull.
You're going to pull.
Yeah.
And we're going to ushk. Okay, so there you go. So let's push. Can you push? Okay, good enough. You can sit down. Well,
good job.
Anyway, but the point of when we look at that in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes us. He takes the weight with us. He says, you pray, but I'm praying with. And it's literally what that is. We are taking hold of this thing, this pulpit, if you will. We're taking hold of it against the weight of, together with. So we did it together, right? And together, so the Holy Spirit is saying, we don't need five, you just need me. And I will take hold of the weight of what you're struggling with in your world, together with you, against it. And I'll do the pushing, and I'll do the pulling. So you put your hands on it, but it's my hands that are all over your hands. And it's my strength. You say, well, I can't move that. I'm only, 160 pounds or whatever, right? He says, yeah, but you got me. My hands are on your hands. My hands are on your hands. My arms around your shoulder. My words are in your ear. My breath is upon your face. You're not alone. And that is the kind of word and thought that Dutch Sheets is trying to get at, I think, when we look at that in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. Hands upon, against. There is this bringing forth of this weight of this difficult army that has come against the people of Israel that they can't handle on their own. But they are not on their own because there are people that are hovering in prayer as they go into battle. And because of that, as they covered in prayer, the world was changed. The geographical region was switched and became different than what it was before because the King was on site. The King of Kings, the Spirit of God who was hovering over that whole situation came into play. So cool, isn't it? You know, it is a form, really, what we're talking about of spiritual travail. Again, since I'm talking about Dutch Sheets, I'll just hit him again because I like him. He said intercessory spiritual travail and intercessory prayer is this. It is releasing the creative power or energy of the Holy Spirit into a situation to produce, to create, or to give birth to something. I thought that's a pretty good definition. I'll say it again. I like it. Releasing the creative power or energy of the Holy Spirit into a situation to produce, to create, and to give birth to something. Well, did not that happen in Exodus 17? Yes, it did. But that wasn't just for Exodus 17. That was written there for you. And it was written to give encouragement to me in my world as well. The altar became known as Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. We gain, and really, so they set that up afterwards. The battle is won, so they build an altar, and they put that name on it. They talk to that, and Moses is saying in that, he's saying, we gain victory by the presence and by the power of the living God. We lift up today the insignia, our banner. We are putting up the flag today that he was hovering over this thing. And we prayed and we engaged him and he did this thing. Right? We go to battle that way with the presence and the power of God. I will not go to battle without it. I will step into my world with the presence of God and with the power of God. I will engage him with covering prayer, and I need others to do the same thing with me. Because you see, no matter what your world like, you can't take your world by yourself. You can't take your world by yourself. You cannot take the world by yourself, and you cannot take the world. I know you can do it just with Jesus. All I need is Jesus. No, we need each other. We flow in team. We go as a herd. We're a flock, whatever you want to call us. Right? But we go together, and Moses modeled that. He modeled that. Joshua modeled that. Oh, let's go on some more here. I had a vision a few years ago, put it in my journal, revisited it the other day, and I was in prayer, in a time of prayer. I'm talking about covering your world in prayer, and I saw a vision of my world. And in the vision that I saw of my world, it was covered by unbreakable glass domes that contain atmospheres within each dome. One dome was over the Royal Canadian Legion in Portmanil. Another dome was over the RCMP, and another dome was over our church. And it was this unbreakable glass domes, these three domes that contained atmospheres within them. And as I prayed in the Spirit, I felt that the Lord was saying, as you are praying, I am covering those areas of your world. I am covering your world as you pray. It is as if I am putting up a glass dome in that world with an atmosphere that is rich within that. I was transported outside, I felt, of the constraints of time at that moment, and I saw arrows penetrating, trying to penetrate those domes. Arrows that were coming from past that had not yet landed or had whatever. And I was reminded of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, where it talks about the devil and how that he shoots arrows, flaming arrows towards us. And as I saw that, I felt as I was interceding into my world that some would come and penetrate the dome to a certain extent, but they moved into an atmosphere that was covered and nurtured in prayer and the hovering power of the living God. And as they came into that atmosphere, which was saturated in prayer and covered properly in prayer, the flames could not go to their destination because of the warmth and heat of the presence of God. They would begin to get hot, and then they would begin to come on fire, and in midair they would be disintegrated by the power and the presence of the living God. I spoke to the arrows, seeing them being consumed. Revelations began to pour into my spirit as I was given authority to speak into those situations. And I saw arrows from the church past tended to bring hurt and pain to the body of Christ. I saw them entering the dome, and we could take authority, and they were no longer affecting us by the power of God. And God used that as a way of saying, prayer, covering, works. And we are called into our world. And that was something that was so real to me that I share with you today. Prayer raises God's banner. His banner, most likely a military term. It is divine warrior language. And as Moses interceded, the kingdom of heaven began to be manifested as he prayed. It influenced outcomes, releasing the presence of God and the power of God. In my journal, the same day that I got that, I wrote these thoughts that I felt the Holy Spirit gave to me, and I wrote it in my journal. And I haven't shared this very often, but these were words. This is my lingo. This is the way it spoke to me, and it is this. Prayer is a key dynamic enabling me to take the territory God has promised to me. Well, I believe that today. But you see, that speaks to all of us. God has called you to your world. Don't forget the prayer. Don't forget the prayer. Don't forget the prayer. Don't forget the prayer. Or you'll be like Joshua out there getting tired and wondering why the battle's turning and it's not going your way, even though you know you're in God's hand. It's because it's got to be covered in prayer. The Holy Spirit is hovering, but he is released through the power of prayer into your world. God wants to touch your world, but he wants you to partner with him in prayer. But listen, we are there not just on our own. You are in your world, not just your own. Just another minute, I just got to say this. You're not on your own. We are together in this, guys. Moses was not on his own. He got up there and he forgot. Listen, I can get into my world and I can forget. Moses got up there and he's up there and he's trying to get these arms of his lingered up and he's worn out. And so another guy, he comes over to him and he says, hey, Stan, you're trying to hold that thing all by yourself. You need help. Miles and I are going to hold that thing up. Sit on that rock. Terrence says, oh, I got it. Pulls that over, and here we all are. What a cool idea. All I can think about is this rod. I can't think of anything else, right? Isn't that right? Creativity flows through us together into your world. You are not alone, and we're to cover each other. We're to support each other. It's okay to say to someone else, I need more in my world right now. Cover me. Pray with me, please. Stand with me on this specific thing. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Can you call on someone? Would you let somebody call on you? Can someone call on you? Go up your hand. Can someone call on you?
Can someone say, hey, please remember me? See, look at all the hands going up, right? 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 It's okay. It's okay. You can get someone else to help cover your world. Moses, Aaron, her, Joshua. And listen, there are times in your life where you say, well, I want to do that, but I can't, because you feel like Joshua. You're out in the battle. You say, well, I can't take a time out for 15 minutes to go over there because that guy needs me to hold my end up with this here line. Right? There are times in my life where I find I am so busy that I feel the prayer level is not where it should be, because I'm in this battle and I'm lifting up this sword. Isn't it right? Isn't it the body of Christ that can say in such time, not that I feel condemned, not that I begin to get down on myself, not that I begin to feel, oh, I'm just not doing it, what's wrong with me, but that I realize I'm in a battle and I need another warrior. I need another warrior, sister. I need someone else right now. I just need more prayer, right? That's what they said to Joshua that day. See, what happened there wasn't just for there. It was for our North Island. It was for Port McNeil. It was for Hyde Creek. It was for the North Island. It was for you. It's for your world. Cover your world in prayer. Now, as you do, the Lord begins to set up a dome. He begins to... The atmosphere within that part of your world begins to be saturated with the hovering presence of God, beginning to release, touching people in all kinds of cool ways. And you step into that, and the Lord begins to say how to move the sword. The Lord begins to say how to do this, how to do that. People just walk up to you. Whatever happens, it's all cool. It's all good. So, guys, let's cover each other. Can we do that? Let's cover each other. And let's cover our world. But let's not do it alone. Let's support each other, guys. We have too many eternal souls at stake in our worlds to not cover each other in prayer. You're not alone. We got everything we need. We got the resources of the kingdom of heaven. It's all good. And so Moses got down after that thing. Can you just see him and Joshua and Aaron and Hur and all the troops? And they're just worshiping. He said, well, we don't get too noisy about this, you know. We don't get too excited, you know. He said, we just won this battle. Oh, so he says, let's build an altar. Right on. Let's do this. Let's enjoy the presence of God. Let's celebrate. Why? Because Jesus just showed his glory. And we just had a miracle. I'm so thankful. I want to love you, Lord. And I want to celebrate with my friends. Is that okay? That sounds Bible to me. That sounds Bible to me. Father, we come to you this morning. Oh, God in heaven, we pray. Let's pray for our worlds. Pray for your world. Lord, I pray for my world. You pray for your world. Pray for your world right now. Lord, help me to understand where my world is. Help me to understand where my world is. Help me to feel my world, to sense my world, to see my world like no other world, my areas. Help and reveal it to me more, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, to know how to cover it with prayer. You know me. You know my schedule. You know my gift mix. You know my personality. You know my temperament. You know all that stuff. So help me know how that looks in my life. And Lord, help me not to do it alone. Father God, can you just put your hand on somebody beside you just as a way of saying they're not alone? Could you do that? Just touch somebody, hold their hand or whatever it looks like for you, but just touch them. Just briefly. It's okay. Just touch them. Just now listen. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. Can you feel that? Can you just say that to somebody? Why don't you say that to somebody? You know, you're not alone. Not alone, man. Not alone. So together now, we cover each other's world. Together, we cover each other's world. Lord, may the hovering of your Holy Spirit be released, changing our world, drawing men and women to yourself, Lord, in the name of Jesus now, Lord. Today, we pray for special anointings upon each and every one of us in these areas, and personal revelation, the personal understanding of how this looks in our lives now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I lift up your world with you right now. As a body, we lift up each other's worlds before you, Lord Jesus. People we work with, people we play with, whatever, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, we rejoice. Lord, we don't want to go leave heavy. Moses left excited. So we leave excited. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us.